Make a few comments as I go along. Brethren, my heart's desire, and that's what God deals with, and that's where we are, our heart, the very soul of our part. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that God in His mighty mercy and grace might save them, that they might be saved. For I bear them record, I go on record, I know them very well, that they have a zeal of God, they're very zealous for God, love to pray, standing on the streets, make broad their phylacteries, but this zeal of God is not according to knowledge. They don't know God, they really don't. And here's why they don't. They're being ignorant of God's righteousness, God Almighty's righteousness. How do you know that they're ignorant of it? Because they're going about to establish their own righteousness, to have a righteousness made of their own doing, and have not submitted themselves, bowed down to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's where God's righteousness is, in Christ, to everyone that believes. Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, the one that the Jews are after, and so many people is, that the man which does those things will have to live by. If you're going to go under the law, have a righteous by the law, you're going to have to do it, and do it perfectly. But the righteousness of faith, which we believe, those who believe, says this, and speaks on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. What can I do to get Christ to save me? What righteousness, what work can I do? Well, faith doesn't speak like that. Christ has already come. Well, who shall this faith doesn't speak like this either? Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. Faith is not looking for Christ to rise again. He's already risen. But what is this faith that we, the righteousness of faith that speaks? What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. What is that? The word of faith. We preach faith. We preach Christ, which we preach. And this is what we preach. And this is the word of faith, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You've got to say it. It comes out, well, that's the Lord. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or brought to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now that's where I'm going to start my message this morning. For who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our hearing or our preaching? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily or truly their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient. And that word gainsaying means denying people. And I'm going to bring a message this morning called the Universal Gospel. The Universal Gospel. And I believe I can make good on that. And I'm going to go down through verse 12, down to verse 21, and that's going to be my message this morning. Universal Gospel, the Gospel for all. The richness of the Gospel. He says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. That's the richness of the Gospel. You know, the Gospel, in the hands of the Holy Spirit, in the hands of the Holy Ghost of God, is the power of God unto salvation. There's power in it, salvation in it, and when God blesses it, salvation comes. Salvation's wrought in a person's heart. And yet, when you look at the truth, as naked truth, God's Word, naked truth, black and white, is a powerful force, just naked truth. It's a powerful force. And we got to face it, got to reckon with it. Paul says this, he says, you know, we are a sweet savor unto God in Christ, preaching Christ. A sweet savor of life unto life of them that believe. But it's also a savor of death to those who don't. So the Gospel is either a smell of life, a sweet fragrance to you, or it's a savor of death. You don't smell no life in it. You get no enjoyment out of it. You get no pleasure out of it. You don't delight in it. And I do know this. I know this as well as I know my name. A person can't be indifferent towards the Gospel. They can't. They just can't. They may act like it. They may pretend to be that way. But there's never a time when we actually hear the Gospel. Now I'm talking about the Gospel, not just a message, a Gospel. That we remain unaffected. Unaffected. It affects you one way or another. It affects you. And the greatest blessing of the Gospel is that it's universal. You know what our Lord told His disciples? He said, go into all the world, wherever you go, and you preach the Gospel. You preach the Gospel. He that believeth and is baptized, they'll be saved. He that believeth not, what's going to happen to them? They shall be damned. That's what Christ said. And I'll tell you what, and what He's saying is, it's to be preached to anyone at any time, in any situation, anywhere that you get an opportunity to talk to somebody about it. And that's a great encouragement to me, because it said, the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, not be brought to shame. Not be brought to shame. That's a great encouragement to me. But let me give you my first point there out of verse 12. Let's look at the marvelous, marvelous mercy of God to all. For there is no difference. In Romans, he uses that phrase pretty often. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on Him. Now, God makes no difference in who you are. He doesn't. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, which is a Gentile, toward a person who's a slave or he's free, toward someone who has very, very cultured, or somebody who is absolutely ignorant. It makes no distinction, no difference between the rich and the poor. None whatsoever. Now we, on this earth, we make distinctions in people. We do. We make distinctions in people. People are you know, we make distinctions in people's office, people's education, people's ability, people's gifts, people's wealth. We make distinctions in people here. But God doesn't make any distinction. He doesn't have respect of persons. Now what does that mean? There's nothing anybody, the President of the United States or the poorest man on the face of the earth, living homeless somewhere. God makes no distinction between them two people. He makes no difference in them. He doesn't respect anybody because they're wealthy, and he don't ignore anybody because they're poor. He don't make a distinction in a person who's got 4 or 5 degrees and somebody, beloved, who can't hardly write their name. He doesn't make any, he has no respect of persons. And we'll, I tell you, this is something I look forward to. We'll leave all distinctions men make here when we go to glory. Christ is all and in all. That's all we're interested in. See, the Jew says a Gentile, he can't be saved. The poor says the rich can't be saved. Those that are educated say the ignorant can't be saved. But the gospel says there's no difference. There's no difference in sin. Is there any difference in man's nature? Any difference in sin? What's the difference between every man that's on... You pick the whole human race, put it in a bag, turn it upside down, shake it out, and everybody's exactly the same in nature and in sin. Ain't that right? And I'll tell you what, the gospel sees all alike. And that's what's so precious about the gospel. The gospel puts everyone on the same footing. Same footing. And that's why they're all in need of mercy. Let me show you something. You keep Romans 10. Look over here in Matthew 19 with me. Look over here in Matthew 19. Here's what I'm talking about. Here's a perfect illustration that our Master gave us Himself. You all know the story of that rich young ruler that came to the Master and asked Him what good thing he had to do to be saved. And our Lord told him, He says, you know, keep the commandments. He said, oh, I've got no problem with that. I've done that. That's one of them Jews that went about to establish his own righteousness. And so our Lord says to him, said, well, just go selling everything you've got and give it to the poor and follow me. And oh my, he was sorrowful and went away because he is very, very wealthy. Then look in verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say he couldn't. He said it's hardly that he would. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now watch what happens here. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. They were amazed. And then they ask this, well, who in the world can then be saved? Jesus beheld them, said unto them, with men, this is impossible. Listen to the next line. But with God, all things are possible. See, he said over here, he said, he makes no difference. He makes no difference. And look what else it says. For the same Lord over all. You see, He's Lord. Who's He Lord over? He's Lord over everybody on the face of this earth. He was Lord when He created Adam. He was Lord when He cursed Cain. He was Lord when He made the ark and put Noah in it. He was Lord when the earth was destroyed by a flood. He is Lord when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. He is Lord and always has been and always will be of everybody on the face of this earth, whether they know it or not. Don't put on billboards and say, Jesus is Lord here. He was Lord before you ever was born. And He'll be a Lord. We know what He'll be when we go to glory. He'll be King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
Just like He is right now. Huh? He's the same Lord over all. And I tell you, this tells us that we're in His hands. We're in His hands. We're in His will. His will is paramount. His will is paramount. We're in His hands. And what if you ever really understood that and got a hold of that, that you're in the hands of Christ to dispose of you as His seemeth good in His sight. And if you ever known how merciful and how gracious and how loving and how kind and how pitiful He is towards sinners, you know what you'd do? You'd run just as hard as you can get to get to Him. You wouldn't waste a hair's breadth getting there. And then not only that, but He said He's rich unto all that call upon Him. Oh, He's rich. How rich you reckon He is? We have a few nickels down here. You know, we have a little bit of money sometimes. And some have more than others. But talk about how rich a man is in light of God Almighty. It's absurd. Ain't it? It's absurd. Look what He said over here in Psalm 50. Psalm 50. You know, it's... Oh, my. To talk about... Man, to talk about how wealthy he is and, oh, he got this, he got that. But I tell you what, don't even mention wealth in the sight of God. Don't even talk about it. You know, listen to what he said. Verse 9. I'll take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of thy folds. Why won't you, Lord? Because every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle upon a thousand hills. That's just a number to tell you that all the cattle is His. And I know all the fowls of the mountain. I know every bird. I know every single one of them. And oh, listen. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. All them things you don't see at night. All them things that ramble around all night. And listen to this. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine. Oh my goodness. He owns it all. And the fullness thereof. Oh my. So you see, beloved, and he said, will I eat the flesh of bull or goats? Drink the blood of goats? No. No, no, no. But he is rich. He is rich. What is he rich in? Well, he's rich in power. He's rich in power. Rich in might. He's rich in knowledge. You know how rich he is in knowledge? There's not a thing about us or any person on the face of this earth that he don't know everything there is to know about him. Huh? He knows you better than you know yourself. He's rich in grace. Oh, how rich he is in grace. Full of grace, full of truth, rich in grace. Who's he rich in grace toward? Sinners. Are you one of them?
Amen.
Both hands go up when I say that. They'll ask these politicians, you believe in this, that, and they'll raise their hand. Are you a sinner in need of mercy? Can you save yourself? No. Can you help yourself? No. Who's God's Savior? Grace given to me in Christ. That's what God saves us. And I tell you what, He's rich in wisdom. And oh, He's so rich in forgiveness, so rich in mercy. Well, who's He rich to? He says there in verse 12, all that call upon Him. That's who He's rich toward. Everybody calls on Him. Y'all ever experienced any of that richness? Oh, if you called upon Him, you have. And now look here. That's the marvelous mercy of God. And look at the marvelous terms of the gospel in verse 13. Unto all that call upon Him. Now listen to this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want you to notice something here. It said, whosoever. He just said, you know, it makes no difference. Now, if you put your name in there and say, put your name in there. I've said, my name is whosoever. My name is Donnie Bell, whosoever. And you know, there's lots of Donnie Bell. I got a nephew. He's named after me. They call him Donnie. There's another Donnie Bell here in Cumberland County. I met him. He's a musician. But it don't say Donnie Bell. It says whosoever. That's me. That's you. That's whosoever in this building, whosoever hears the gospel. You know what? The gospel is wide and as big as God Himself. And yet is as narrow as God Himself is. I don't know if you understand that or not, but that's the way it is. And I tell you what, and I tell you, whosoever shall call. What are you talking about calling? Call in faith. The word of faith on this wise. I don't have to say, oh, Christ, come down here and save me. He's already come down. He's already saved a multitude that no man can number. Who's going to bring Him up out of the grave? He's already out of the grave. And faith says, we believe that. Call on Him in faith. Call on Him in simplicity. Call on Him in honesty. Call on Him continually. That's what this word, whosoever call upon the Lord, means. That means that once you start calling, you just keep on calling. Whosoever shall call, call and keep calling. That's what it means. This call is continual. It's not a one-time prayer. Calling on, it's not like these fellows say, well, didn't you call on the Lord? Yes, I did. Well, then you're saved. So they have to go back to a certain time that there's on an altar. Some preacher told them, didn't you call on the Lord? I did. Well, it said here after you call on Him that He saves you. So they have to go back to an experience. But if you ever call on Him in faith and honesty and simplicity, you'll call on Him all the days of your life. And that's what this is talking about right up here. Calling and calling and calling and calling. Once you ever call on Him, you know when you'll stop calling? When your last breath leaves your body. That's when you'll stop. Until that happens, you ain't going to stop. Unless you lose your mind, and here's something about it. Lose your mind, but He still knows you. Sometimes I feel like I've lost it. I'll try to think of something and it just won't come. It just won't come. I say, oh boy. And then, you know, later it'll come to you, you know. But my memory ain't nothing like it used to be. But bless His holy name. I don't have to. He remembers me. He knows one day by His sovereign mercy I called on Him. Called on Him this morning. I'm going to call on Him the rest of the day. I'm going to call on Him before the service tonight. You're going to call on Him before the service tonight. We called on Him this morning. We called on Him. We call on Him. And I tell you what, you'll call on Him all your life. And then look what, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Name is given for His character. His character. And I'll tell you something about him. He's not like us at all. Look over here in Romans 11, verse 33. He's not like us. Oh my, he's not like us. Call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Anybody know what God's mind is? Whoever sat down and told God how to do things? Whoever first give to him, and he has turned around and paid you back? For of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Amen. You know, there's two men went up to the temple to pray. Our Lord gave this parable, you know, told us that of two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a publican. The Pharisee prayed thus with himself. Thus with himself. He prayed for his own benefit and those around him. And you know what he said? He said, I thank thee. Didn't say God. He didn't say Father. I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week. Pay tithes of all that I have. And I'm not an extortioner, I'm not an adulterer. And he went through a whole list of things that he hadn't done. But there stood another man over there. An old publican. A sinner. Now your master is with publicans and sinners. And I tell you what, he wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. Smote on his breast. And said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He called on the Lord. And the scripture says that man went down to his house justified. Justified. And I'll tell you, you'll call upon the Lord as you see him. And as you know him, your view of him will determine how you call upon him. Huh? And then let's look here at the marvelous, marvelous method of the gospel. Verse 14 and 15. Oh, the marvelous method of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, now listen to this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's the method of the gospel. There are four hows here. Four of them. Four hows. And you know when you ask how, it's a question. Well, how do you answer that question? And there's four hows here. So how are we going to answer those questions? And they have to be answered. It says here, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, men can't trust. Men cannot trust or have faith on an unknown Christ or an unrevealed Christ. They can't do it. Huh? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How are you going to believe in somebody you've never heard anything about? And that's why, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked his disciples, said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, well, they say you're John the Baptist. You're Elijah. You're Jeremiah. You're one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, how blessed you are. Flesh and blood didn't make you see that. Didn't make you know that. But my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed it to you. Huh? He revealed it to you. You know, now listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. Men must have the correct information of Christ before they will believe or call. You've got to have the right information. And there's been a lot of misinformation concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of misinformation about Him. You know what? They talk about His love. He loves you. They tell that to everybody indiscriminately. God loves you. Christ loves you. And I tell you what, not only does He love you, but we do too. And then they tell you, oh, listen, tell everybody indiscriminately, Christ died for you. He loved you so much that He died for you. Well, tell that to Cain. Tell that to the world while they was dying in the flood. Tell that to people of Sodom and Gomorrah that He burned down. Tell that to Esau. And then they say, oh my, He got power to save if you let Him. Oh, that's misinformation. Misinformation. And that's why people talk about, you know, they come denying the power thereof. And listen to me, if one believes this false information, then there'll be a false trust and a false faith and a false calling. Is that not right? You know how many people are sitting in services this morning all over the world, all over America, and they're being fed false information. And if you're one of God's blessed people, that God gave you the correct information, that God crossed your feet and your path with the gospel of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, you ought to bless God every day of your life that He crossed your path. Because there's a multitude of people that He ain't. He raises up preachers. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you here. He raises up preachers, and they give out all this false information. You know why He does that? At least He keeps some people restrained and moral to some degree. Huh? And I'll tell you. And how shall they hear? How's they going to call on Him? How shall they hear without a preacher? You got to have a preacher. You can't find anybody in the Bible that was ever saved without hearing the preaching. Huh? Even Peter and Paul and John and them, Christ called them. Men make little of preaching, you know. God pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, the apostle said. Men make little of preaching and preachers. They make little of it, preaching and preachers. But our Lord was a preacher. He sent all the disciples out to preach. John the Baptist was a preacher. Paul was a preacher. We weren't called to debate doctrine and argue with people. And we wasn't called to share the gospel. You can imagine, could you imagine Paul standing on Mars Hill and all seeing all them idols everywhere, and he says, now, stand up and said, now I want to share the gospel with you today. I will share Jesus with you today. No, he stood up and started preaching. How do you share something? You know, we can share money, we can share a meal, we can share a conversation. We can share a lot of things, but one thing we can't do, we can't share the gospel. Mm-mm. You got to tell it. You got to declare it. Listen, I've got a pie. I'll share this pie with you. I got some money. I'll share my money with you. But I can't share the gospel with you. God's got to make you know that. Ain't that right? And we're called to preach Christ. And then it says this, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Now this is a calling. It's something that a man never takes unto himself. It just doesn't happen. When Isaiah, God said, who shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What are you going to tell them? Well, I got something I want you to say when you get there. All flesh is grass. And the glory of man is as a flower that fadeth away. That's what he said. Go tell them. And I tell you what, Paul, he said, it would please God who separated me from my mother's womb, call me by his grace, call me. He said, you know that he is called to be an apostle, called to be a preacher. Then he says, so how beautiful then are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Can you imagine how beautiful our Lord's feet were? You know. Can you imagine if the people that we love, their feet are beautiful? Oh my. Not that the feet themselves, but the idea of what they bring. Huh? Oh my. When our Lord Jesus would go somewhere, they'd gather around him. Why? Because he brought glad tidings of good things. And I tell you, what's some glad tidings of some good things? Well, I tell you, electing love is glad tiding, ain't it? Oh, that's a good tiding. That's glad tidings. Electing love. Loved them with an everlasting love. Eternal grace. Boy, that's a good tiding, ain't it? That's a glad tiding. That God gave us grace in Christ before the world began. A suffering Savior. Oh, yes, he suffered. Oh, how he suffered. But yet at the same time, in that suffering, in that dying, our Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God Almighty in every single way that God had to be satisfied. Fulfilled the law, satisfied justice, made peace through the blood of his cross. I tell you, it's glad tidings when you say that his blood cleanses you from all sins. That we're justified by him. That our righteousness is the very righteousness of God. It's a glad tiding and a good thing when we talk about forgiveness and accomplish the salvation. It's not good tidings to tell somebody, well, you got these conditions. You got to meet these conditions. You got to repent and believe. Those are two conditions God put on you. Well, where are you going to get repentance? Where are you going to get faith? Oh, my. And they tell you they put these conditions on you. And they say, if you do this, you'll be saved. If you'll stop doing that, you'll be saved. And they'll say, let go and let God. Let go and let God. God wants to save you if you'll just let go. Let go of what? Let go of what? You ain't got nothing to hold on to. But oh, there's no glad tidings in do. To be saved. But oh, it's good news when you say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what that Philippian jailer, he had the sword ready to kill himself. After God caused an earthquake to loosen them jails and let everybody out, they thought Paul was going to run. He walked back in there and he says, oh, don't you do yourself no harm. We're all here. We ain't going to run. And you know what? He took him in there and that jailer washed those wounds of Paul and Silas, washed their backs and washed the wounds, washed their face, washed their feet. And then he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I tell you what, if you want to know what Paul the Apostle said, and here's a man who asked the question, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your house, and you shall be saved. Well, I believe, help thou my unbelief. All right, look at the rejection of the gospel. I'll hurry up. But verse 16, look what it says. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Oh, they brought this glad tidings. They come preaching good, beautiful things with beautiful feet. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. They've not all listened to it. They've not all obeyed it. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our hearing, or hearing us? Who's believed hearing us? Who's believed our report, our preaching? Who's believed it? Well, nobody believes it until God gives you faith. Nobody believes it until God brings the gospel to you. Huh? But here's where we're at. It's not left up to me to make people obey. It's not left up to me to give people faith. It's not up to you. We just have to tell it, like Isaiah did, and leave the results to God. God will do what He will with a person. Huh? But I know, support those who preach it and leave the believing to the Lord. He'll get His people. He'll get them. And then look at the simplicity of faith. Look what He says. Well, there's people who didn't obey and they believe not. Well, then how in the world are you going to believe then? So then faith comes. It comes. Where does it come? By hearing. You're listening today. By hearing. Huh? Well, what you hear? The Word of God. That's what you hear. The Word of God. Well, how in the world do I get it? Well, you got to listen. The Word. That's why I said the Word of faith that we preach. And how does faith come? By hearing the Word preach. Faith comes from a message heard. Paul said, brethren, knowing your election of God. How do you know? Because our gospel came unto you. Not just in word, though it did come in word, but it came in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. The gospel comes from hearing a message heard. And I tell you, when you hear that message, God gives you ears to hear that message. Blessed are your eyes that see, and blessed are your ears that hear. Faith comes with hearing. And then when you hear, you say, I know, I believe. And knowing God, you know Him through His Word. And faith responds to a message heard. Faith responds to that. And I tell you what, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Don't know. You know, Eli believed God. When he says, you know, I'm going to kill your two sons. He said, well, do what seemeth good in your sight. He submitted to the message that God gave him. Huh? And then let me quickly say this. Look in verse 19 and 20. It's certain that some will believe the gospel. Look what Paul says here in verse 19. But God said to Israel, Moses said, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. Why are you going to make us jealous? Well, there's a people that are no people. As far as you're concerned, they're no people at all. They're no bodies. And a nation, a foolish nation, nations that don't know God, didn't have any interest in God. And he said, I'm going to anger you with them. And he did. He angered them with them. And I tell you what. And then Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. Now, you wasn't seeking God. But yet, he's found of them that wasn't even looking for him. How'd that happen? He come to where you was and opened your heart, opened your eyes, opened your understanding. You said, well, there he is. That's him. You wasn't looking for him. And then look what it says. And I was made manifest. I made myself clear and manifest unto them that didn't even ask for me. Huh? We weren't even looking for him. Wasn't seeking him. But he said, I manifested myself to people who wasn't even asking for me. Mm-hmm. Oh my. I tell you, the seed is sown, and some springs up, and it brings forth fruit. And thank God we're not on a fool's errand. We have a message from God concerning His Son, and He'll cause it to prosper as it pleases Him. Huh? As to prosper as it pleases Him. He says, "My word shall go forth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereunto I said." And then last of all, let me show you this. God's wondrous mercy and long-suffering to people. But to Israel, He says, "All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient." And like I said, that word gainsaying means of people who deny. God's saying here, "I've stretched out all day long. I've stretched out my arms. Stretched out my hands. Stretched out my hands. All day. I can't hold my arms up just a little while." But He said, "I hold them up all day." Outstretched. And all such patience and such long suffering. God ain't playing games with men. He's not playing games with men. Got His arms stretched out. His hands stretched out. All day long. Showing how long suffering He is. How patient He is. And He asks this question while He's got them stretched out. You know, you see, when somebody comes up, you ain't seen them in a long time, you put your arms out and embrace them. You know, how many times is your little children, when they're little, and your grandchildren run up to you and stretch out their arms? Mm-hmm. What do they stretch them out for? So you'll take them in your arms. God, that's what He stretches out His hands for. He'll take you in His arms. And He asks this question, "Why will you die?" God has no pleasure in the day of the wicked. And may God make us like this. Patient. Patient. Willing to leave our arms outstretched. To leave our hearts open towards people that don't know Christ. Pray for them. Stretch out our hands to them. Stretch out our hands to them. Our Father, thank You for Your blessed, abundant mercy given us in Christ. How we praise You and thank You that You are a God that makes no difference, that You reach unto all that call upon You. We're thankful, O Lord Jesus, for that gospel that You sent to us. Sent us a preacher. Sent someone like an Isaiah with a message. And You blessed us to hear that message. Blessed us to believe that message. And Lord Jesus, all those days when we were in religion, all those years that we were lost, and then we turned and found that You had Your arms outstretched for us. And oh Lord, when we saw those arms reaching out for us, Lord, we fled to them. We come to them. And You embraced us. You took us in those loving arms. You took us in those precious arms. Those arms that are strong. Those arms that created this world and all that's in it. And upholded by Your word of Your power. And Lord, we thank You that You took us in. And You embraced us and loved us. And that, Lord, You'll never, ever, never, ever let us ever, ever be let loose from Your arms and Your hands. We bless You for it. God, open hearts, open understandings. And we ask you to do it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. I'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. God